Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's 5:11. Always nice to come in at this hour and walk by our kitchen and see pizza from last night left over.
I saw that.
And
that was pizza?
Couldn't you tell? Yeah, it sort of formed into some other substance. Now, the sick thing is, though, for a second, I actually thought, yeah, I put that in the microwave, it'll come right back to life.
Okay, I have to make an admission.
Yes, Steve?
Oh, no.
I had a piece.
No, yeah. Steve!
I did. So, I'm thinking like maybe 8 o'clock, you might want to check back in with me and see how it's going.
You'll be fine. Looked like pretty good pizza, actually.
It was actually pretty good. I microwaved it and it seemed to taste fine.
Do we know when that arrived last night? Do we know who ordered that?
I hope it was. I really want to know.
Well, it was actually, it was Hampton OB. It was from a post-game show in December.
I was just going to say, I hope it wasn't Roe in the afternoon. I hope at least it was, you know, Justin at night. But, well, how are we all doing today? We're all assembled to be at your service again. And Mary Vandeveld is off, though, this week. Jen, is that you in the traffic center?
It's me, Bob. Hi.
Nice to see you.
It's nice to be with you again. It's been a few years.
Yes, it has, hasn't it? A few years, a few radio stations.
Exactly.
I don't know if any of you guys are technical wizards, but I've been mentioning this over the last few weeks. And I couldn't really articulate what my problem was with Comcast Infinity and the DVR. But now I've figured it out because I recently switched from DirecTV. All right, here is the problem. Tell me if I'm missing something or if you know how to fix this. You know how with DirecTV, if you were watching a show live from the beginning and then you decided midway through you want to record it, you would hit record, and it would actually record it from the beginning of the show. You know what I mean? Okay.
Yes.
But with Xfinity, I believe, unless I'm doing something wrong, if you do that, it just records from the spot you decided to hit record. Joe in the engineer in the engineering department there in the control room is nodding his head. So I guess that is a difference between DirecTV and Xfinity, right, Joe?
Yeah, I've been a Comcast customer for a while, and I have never had the functionality of being able to record something from the beginning unless it's already set ahead of time. So once you hit record, it's just going to record from that second that you push the button.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So I've stumbled upon a defect. I would think that Xfinity needs to fix that because I would do that so many times. I'd be, you know, channel surfing. Because, as they say, women want to know what's on, men want to know what else is on. And I'd come across a program, like, midway and think, oh, wow, this looks good. I'd like to see this whole thing. And then I'd hit record with DirecTV, and then you'd get the whole show. But not so with Xfinity. All right. Well, it's not just me.
But just plan ahead.
Well, I can't. There are too many things to watch on TV.
That's true.
It's too much. I looked last night, and my DVR was, it said 74% full or whatever, 74% something. I had 74%. I had like about, you know, what is that? 74, 84, 94, you know, 25% left, and that was it. And I mean, there's so many shows. I'm never going to watch those shows.
Yeah, so you need to go through, and it's if it doesn't cause joy, you should delete it.
Thank you, Marie Kondo. What's her name?
Kondo.
Marie Kondo.
I think that's what they say, right?
Yeah. I read that little book about decluttering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I actually, I do say goodbye to things now that I throw out and thank them for giving me pleasure. But I don't buy her technique there where instead of going room to room to clean up, she goes like do all the old T-shirts in the house in whatever rooms they are. Just do it that way. I haven't picked up on that yet. It's 5:16, and we'll have a prize for the first caller, so we can clutter up your house with something. Hopefully you'll want this, though. We do that at 312-981-7200 if you want to try to get in on that. You might be able to take a quick peek at your retirement fund today. Maybe. Looks like it's going to be a better day, though. Let's check in with Nancy Liu from WGN-TV. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Bob. We're tracking the markets because there is so much nervousness and anxiety over what happened yesterday. As you know, a historic drop of over 2,000 points with the Dow. But as you alluded to, things are looking a little brighter today. Stock futures are up by more than 800 points. Oil futures improving as well. And this is all on the heels of President Trump coming out late yesterday and mentioning a financial stimulus package, including payroll tax relief and other measures, all because of the fallout from COVID-19. There are so many people who are self-quarantined. There are people working from home. You have all heard about all the cancellations. People are canceling vacations, canceling spring break, canceling business trips. And here in Chicago, we've had a number of major conventions canceled, and our local economy is taking a huge hit from that. So a lot of anticipation over what the president is going to announce later today, especially with the payroll tax cut.
Yes, here and in other cities, you get a convention that cancels. It's not just the hotels that suffer. It's restaurants and all sorts of ancillary businesses.
Exactly. And also getting those people here. Boy, the airlines have taken a huge hit. And airlines are, you know, cutting back on their schedules, using smaller planes just because there are fewer people traveling. And boy, the cruise industry, I mean, that is the administration yesterday telling people not to take cruises. So all kinds of industries impacted by this, but also the ripple effect for families, you know, people who may not be going to work. Schools are closed. So the ripple effect of this are so far reaching. And, you know, we have yet to see the full impact of all of this. It's going to ripple for, you know, months and years to come.
Yeah, I just got a notice about a reunion, a radio station reunion that was planned for like almost a year. They've canceled that now, and all sorts of entertainment events, sports. As you say, it just touches every part of life today, and
exactly.
More to come, I'm afraid. Okay, that's the latest on that. Thank you, Nancy. You have a good day.
You do it the same. Have a great day, everyone.
Talk to you 5:23. Let's talk to John in Bartlett. You're our first caller, our first civilian on the radio today. Good morning, John. You win a prize.
Good morning, Bob. How are you today?
Good. How would you like a desktop indoor weather station?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You got it. What are you doing up at this hour?
Well, I'm heading to work. I'm a heavy driver for AT&T. I deliver telephone poles and heavy reels and supplies to all the garages.
So do you work outside?
Yes. Yeah, I drive tractor trailer.
Oh, are you out there on the road now?
No, I'm heading to work. I start at 6 in the morning.
So what do you have at home? Do you have all AT&T cable, AT&T products? You get a good deal?
Of course. So, yeah, my DirecTV, I heard you talking on the radio, my DirecTV bill is like $20, and I have a home in Tennessee and a home in Bartlett, and that's what I pay for the whole package.
Oh, nice employee discount.
Yes, very nice.
That reminds me, I got a text from 630 Deanna said, my old Comcast DVR, the old one that only let me record two things at a time, would let us record from a show's beginning. The new one with voice that can record six shows simultaneously will not record from the beginning. Though I can rewind as much as an hour and a half. Believe me, I've tried and I'm DVR savvy. See, sometimes the old equipment, Johnny, is better than the new stuff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep. I know, that's like my old DVR. I don't want to give it up because if malfunctions once in a while, because we have so much recorded, my wife doesn't want to give up all the old movies and stuff.
Yeah, right. I know. You'll never get to them. Don't worry about it.
I know.
All right, hold on, John. We'll get you that prize. We'll get the information we need. Thanks for checking in with us this morning.
Thanks, Bob. Have a great day.
You too. Hold on now. And that desktop indoor weather station is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Why are you laughing at me,
no,
Dave?
I have a first-generation TiVo that I use as a stand for a TV.
Well, sometimes they build first-generation equipment more expensively than they do later on. Many times they do improve it down the line, but oftentimes some of the first units are better or can do more things.
Well, it serves very well as a stand for a heavy TV.
You know what gets me is that, you know, everybody in my family, it's like every 6 weeks they want a new phone, and because, oh, it's outdated, Dad. And, you know, I've got equipment in my basement that still works well from, like, you know, 30 years ago. But it's planned obsolescence today, right?
Yes.
And technology also moves so quickly that I guess you kind of have to keep up, you know. Or at least Apple makes us do that. All right. Well, good to have you with us this morning. You want to get in touch with us? The phone number and the text number is the same here, 312-981-7200. You can email us, bobshow@wgnradio.com. Here's Orion's Agribusiness Brief.
Good morning. Well, the news wasn't any better yesterday, but at least it was more than the coronavirus to blame. The price of crude oil down sharply yesterday, and the combination of that with the virus sent not only the equity markets lower, but grain and livestock markets. Soybean futures fell more than 2%, corn down nearly 1% yesterday, and the wheat situation a little bit higher. Let's look at those closing prices at the Chicago Board of Trade. The March wheat contract was up 2¾ cents, but March corn down $0.015. March soybeans down 11½. Pretty much the same story in livestock futures. Live cattle falling for a third straight session and hitting life of contract lows. And as one analyst said, when you have the stock market losing 5 to 7% of its value in a day, that stuff is going to spill over into the cattle, and that is what we saw today on Monday. So closing prices in livestock futures at the Mercantile Exchange, the June lean hog contract down $2 a hundredweight. The April live cattle contract down $3 a hundredweight, and the April feeder cattle market down 4½ cents a hundredweight in the Monday trade. Not a good day in any of the markets yesterday. A reminder that farmers can nominate their high schools for $15,000 grants designed to enhance STEM science, technology, engineering, and math education through the 2020 Grow Rural Education Program sponsored by the Bayer Fund. April 1st is the deadline for making those school entries in rural communities. That's Ag Biz. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
All right, thanks, Dorian. It's 540. Talking about money, I was just reading about Christian Yelich and his contract with the Milwaukee Brewers. They're going to be paying, let's see, until 2042. So he'll be 50 then.
Yep.
And he's He'll still be getting money.
No, Bobby Bonilla is still getting money from the Mets every year.
That's
gets $1 million once a year.
That is crazy. Yelich has a 9-year, $215 million deal, calls for the Brewers to defer $4 million each year of his $26 million annual salary from 2022 to 2028. The deal includes a $20 million mutual option for 2029 with a $6.5 million buyout, and $2 million of the buyout would be deferred. You following? If the buyout is owed, the $30 million in deferred money would be paid in 12 installments of $2.5 million each July 1st from 2031 to 2042. If it isn't, he gets the $28 million in 11 installments each July 1st from 2031 to 2041. And a final payment of $2,333,337 July 1, 2042. Wow. I mean, you know, what's it like to have that kind of deal and that kind of money coming in?
Where you could just say, hey, take $4 million, put that aside, right? Every year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, the thrill of that would be going to the grocery store and not caring what anything costs, just buying everything. You know, it'd be little thrills. I wouldn't be buying a Bentley. I saw the other day that I think Anthony Rizzo has a Bentley now. Somebody referred to that in Cubs camp. See, I wouldn't be doing any of that. I wouldn't need any of that stuff. I would be like Warren Buffett, I guess. I'd drive the same old car and, you know, live in the same place. But I would definitely go crazy at Mariano's.
Yeah. Well, that's your big extravagance.
Yes. Well, I love grocery shopping. Yeah, that would be fun. By the way, what did I see Warren Buffett said the other day? He was commenting. I think this was before yesterday's big crash. Buffett believes that a low interest rate environment combined with rock bottom corporate tax rates makes stocks the most attractive asset class for the foreseeable future. He said that rosy prediction, though, comes with a warning. Anything can happen to stock prices tomorrow. Boy, he was right about that. He said this a few days ago. Buffett went on to say, occasionally there will be major drops in the market, perhaps a 50% magnitude or even greater. As usual, the Oracle of Omaha, is that what he's called? He was right on, but he still likes stocks. We'll see what happens today.
And, Bob, there's a real concern here among a lot of economic experts that whatever economic stimulus that is proposed, whether it be today, later today, or tomorrow, has to focus more on the consumer part of this. One of the things is sick leave for part-time employees and other employees that don't currently even get sick days.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be included in some sort of stimulus? I know that Darden Restaurant, the owner of Olive Garden, announced yesterday that all of its part-time workers would get 14 days of sick leave to handle an emergency, like, for instance, if they had to quarantine for coronavirus. That's the kind of thing that, you know, would be very important to have for the economy moving forward, not just corporate tax cuts, because that can only go so far.
Yeah, you're supposed to stay home for 14 days, right?
Right.
If you... What is the deal if you think you have the coronavirus?
Yeah, if you've been in contact with somebody, or even if, you know, there's a suspected case that you've been neared, you need to self-quarantine. But the consumer has been the driver of this economy, and if you take the consumer out of the equation with something like coronavirus, there's going to be big problems going forward.
Yeah, and if you need to be off for 14 days and you're encouraged to take that time, does that blow all of your sick days for the year, and do you not get paid? Yeah, you're right. Hopefully, there will be a at least temporary solution to that dilemma. More to come on that. In meantime, you know, the futures are looking good. So let's hope maybe we can have more than one day of good news from the markets. I got to start going to bed later, because I'm going to bed really early, and I'm waking up at, like, you know, 1:30 in the morning, and then I'm tossing and turning before I get back to sleep. I gotta try going to bed later. Maybe that'll work. Maybe then I'll sleep through the entire night.
I think that helps. I think it does help.
Going to bed later?
Yeah, a little bit later. Because,
all right,
you know, then you'll get a good sound. Sleep expert recommends.
No. I want to get some, you know, like, if I'm going to get, you know, 6 hours, if that's all I'm going to get, I want it to be 6 consecutive hours. And I'll try that tonight. It's 5:51. Did you hear about this? A burglar has hit 8 Northside restaurants in the last month or so. A burglar has robbed at least 8 restaurants in River North and Streeterville on the New North Side since early February. According to police, in each incident, someone pried open a front door. Chicago police say all but one burglary happened in the early morning. They happened, let's see, February 1st in the 700 block of North Wells, February 3rd in the 300 block of East Illinois, February 7th, the 300 block of North Clark, in the afternoon hours of February 12th, the 200 block of West North Avenue. They don't list the restaurants, they just list these addresses. February 16th, the 200 block of East Ohio, February 23rd, the 500 block of North Wells, February 23rd, the 400 block of North Orleans, and March 8th, the 700 block of North LaSalle. Police said a suspect was about 6 feet tall, between 45 and 60 years old, and wore dark clothing. And I would add, the person was probably very hungry. Anyone with information is asked to call detectives at 312-747-8380. 312-747-8380. Steve Grzanich had an item on the news at 5:30 about hand sanitizer. No surprise that what was that you said, Steve? The amount of hand sanitizer that was sold?
Yeah, so between February 22nd and February 29th, sales in the U.S. of hand sanitizer jumped 300%.
And today I see where Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York has unveiled something called NYS Clean, the state's official hand sanitizer, which smells like a floral bouquet. Does Governor Pritzker know about this? This is what we need, because it's hard to find hand sanitizer. Governor Cuomo said that 100,000 gallons of the sanitizer are being made per week using prison labor in New York State. There's an idea. Got to get on that here.
Yeah, it sounds like a really ingenious idea. They said, listen, sometimes some places online are selling a 12-ounce bottle for $50 a bottle. You know, I have a crate of this. I have the 8-ounce bottles, by the way. And
what do you sell?
Special
for?
Price for everybody here at $30.
Employee discount. Well, when I was at Costco for my horrible experience Saturday that I was talking about yesterday, and I managed to, before it was gone, you know, my wife made me get this humongous pack of toilet paper for what, I don't know. And why are people buying bottled water, too? Well, I don't understand that. What's wrong with your tap? But anyway, well, I got the toilet paper, and then it's gone from the shelves at Costco, and everybody's upset, and I'm walking out paying for it. And I said to the guy at Costco as I'm leaving, you know how they check you, and I said, hey, can I stay outside here and offer my toilet paper to the highest bidder? He said, yeah, you'll probably get a lot of money. I thought maybe I'd start the bidding at about $1,000. Of course, then I later in the day, I'm at my neighborhood grocery store, and they've got plenty of it. But everybody likes to go to Costco because they want to stock up for the year.
I read an article about why people are buying up toilet paper. It's because it was not like there was no edict you should go out and buy all the toilet. But it's apparently when it comes to people trying to prepare, even though they're not quite sure what they're preparing for, that's one of the instincts that kicks in, according to this story.
I was trying to get an answer from my wife about why I needed to buy that. And I thought she said that, well, because you're not going to be able to go out. You're going to be forced to stay in. You won't be able to go out and go shopping.
So if you run out of toilet paper, that's a problem.
Yeah, the bottled water one is kind of concerning. I mean, because theoretically, the tap is still going to be working. But I guess if it gets really bad and nobody can run the clean, you know, the water plant, then there might be, I guess, concerns about water. I mean, but you're always supposed to really have bottled water for just regular disasters as well, just in case. So that's not a bad idea, I guess. But that one is also a head scratcher.
Get an empty plastic bottle. Go to your tap. Fill it up. All right. Because I think a lot of the water we spend all that money on is probably, you know, coming from a tap somewhere anyway. We've gone nuts. Let's face it. I'm going to try to alleviate all the panic today in all the conversation we have about this. That's going to be my mission today. Well, hey, happy days are here again. Steve's got the market outlook now at 4 before 6.
Sponsored by Associated Bank. A couple of things could move the markets today, even though they're really moving on their own this morning. Back high up into the green, the weekly look at U.S. crude oil stocks comes out today. The American Petroleum Institute report showed 1.69 million barrel change last week, up from 1.33 billion the week before. It remains to be seen what effect the crash in oil prices will have on crude stocks when that report comes out a little bit later on today. We've already seen Chinese inflation data today, and that is concerning, although it didn't move the markets considerably. And on the earnings calendar, Dick's Sporting Goods, among the companies reporting quarterly financial earnings. Just a few things that could move the markets on Tuesday, March the 10th.
Happy Super Tuesday, too. It's March 10th. And it's 6:12. Good morning. Just to be safe, are you at least 6 feet away from the radio? All right. Just checking. Out of habit, are you still reaching out to shake hands or hug people, and then the other person pulls away? Kind of makes you feel like a jerk, doesn't it?
You know, I think it's less awkward. I noticed over the weekend at the Northwestern game with a number of people I bumped into, and it was sort of a natural
everybody
move to the fist bump.
Gets it now.
Yeah, I think nobody's awkward. Nobody's apologizing.
I like the bow. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm bowing.
Well, you're kind of regal.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I do want to thank WGN Management. As you can see here, Dave, and everybody here, I know, Dave sits across from me at the sports desk, and then, of course, Steve Grzanich is in the newsroom, and our traffic center is in the newsroom, but I have the sink that was installed for me right under the microphone.
That's
can't
great.
Be too careful. I'm going to wash my hands right now. And 20 seconds. Got to do this for 20 seconds. And you get the back of your hand. Watch me between my fingers. See that? I hope the sink doesn't overflow.
Yeah, you have to be careful. Don't splash the controls there.
Where's that draining to, by the way?
It's going, I believe, to the floor under us.
Which is where our corporate headquarters
is.
Yeah,
the boss's office is right underneath. So it might have a leaky roof. Okay, I think that's enough now. How do you shut this thing off?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
What people will be talking about today at 6:18 now. First up, Governor Pritzker has declared a disaster proclamation over the coronavirus outbreak as an additional 4 cases were reported in Chicago. What exactly does that mean? Well, according to the official statement, a disaster proclamation allows the following: federal reimbursement for state response costs, the use of state disaster relief funds covering direct state costs and reimbursements to the Illinois National Guard and mutual aid groups. It also authorizes the governor to activate the Illinois National Guard reservists, some of whom may be doctors and nurses. And now, Paul.
Now, page 2.
Thank you. President Trump said yesterday he would press lawmakers to enact a payroll tax cut and ensure assistance is available to hourly workers amid that coronavirus pandemic that's causing deep economic concerns and stock market shock. Here's a little bit of what the president said yesterday.
We are going to take care of and have been taking care of the American public and the American economy. We are going to be asking tomorrow, we're seeing the Senate, we're going to be meeting with House Republicans, Mitch McConnell, everybody, and discussing a possible payroll tax cut or relief, substantial relief, very substantial relief. That's a big number. We're also going to be talking about hourly wage earners getting help so that they can
be in a position where they're not going to ever miss a paycheck. We're going to be working with companies and small companies, large companies, a lot of companies, so that they don't get penalized for something that's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not our country's fault. This was something that we were thrown into, and we're going to handle it, and we have been handling it.
The president at his news conference yesterday, well, so far so good. Dow Jones futures are surging early this morning.
Page three.
In a $30 billion deal, Aon is buying Willis Tower. The rivals in business insurance and risk consulting got together for this. And it raises a question in the mind of most of us, what will happen to the Willis Tower name? The deal between two London-based companies was announced yesterday. Executives said the combined operation will use the Aon name, not Willis. As for the name on Chicago's 110-story tower, Aon would not comment. A Willis Tower spokesman, well, that company's actually called Willis Tower Watson. That person did not reply to an email sent by the Sun-Times. An executive at Willis Tower, the building, that is, not the insurance company, did not comment. Let's see. Aon already has its name attached to the Aon Center, the former Standard Oil building at 200 East Randolph. With substantial offices still in Chicago, Aon will temporarily account for the names on two Chicago buildings. But with the Willis name disappearing, that's unlikely to continue. It's possible that one of the tower's marquee tenants, United Airlines Holdings, will bid for those naming rights.
Page four.
And oh, now we know that everybody has panicked. Now, this means that we are really in a serious situation here, a full-blown panic. Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune will not tape in front of live audiences in the near term as the continued spread of the coronavirus poses a risk to guests as well as the hosts. Of course, Alex Trebek last year was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Pat Sajak is in his 70s. Both Sony Pictures television shows are currently scheduled to tape episodes through mid-April out there at Culver City in California. The studio's cautiousness comes in response to several factors, including Alex Trebek's health, since his condition puts him at greater risk of contracting the illness. The show's live audience typically tends to skew older. Also, out-of-town audience members, many of whom travel by air to attend the taping, a factor.
Dome, it may concern.
A federal appeals court has restored a jury verdict that found Led Zeppelin did not steal Stairway to Heaven. The estate claimed that the 1971 mega hit violated the copyright of a 1968 song by Spirit called Taurus. Now, you want to hear a little bit of this? Let's hear a little bit of Stairway to Heaven first, and then we'll compare that to Taurus, see what you think. So it's a major win for Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. And here's the song by Spirit called Taurus. Yeah, it is similar, isn't it? A majority of an 11-judge panel overturned a previous ruling that the jury in the 2016 trial should have heard the recording of Taurus and was given poor instructions before jurors found in favor of Page and Plant. The jurors never heard the recording, but a federal appeals court yesterday did restore the jury verdict that found Led Zeppelin did not steal Stairway to Heaven.
Stand by for news!
And finally, before you pick up your smartphone, beware. The dreaded coronavirus could be festering on your phone for long periods. According to German researchers, coronavirus can live on a surface like metal, glass, or plastic for up to 9 days. Published in the Journal of Hospital Infection. The study analyzed data from 22 previous studies on human coronaviruses, including SARS and MERS. So just another thing to be worried about today.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
Good day.
And again, we're looking ahead to a good day on the stock market today. Dow Jones futures surging in the wake of President Trump saying that he is thinking about a payroll tax cut. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. But I have a feeling that we'll all be singing this song today. And it's not Led Zeppelin and it's not Spirit. Joe, are we ready to celebrate the fact that we're going to be seeing green on Wall Street today when we get the numbers at 8:30? Here you go. This is in keeping with our optimistic format today.
Happy days all here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days all here again.
That's right. Absolutely nothing to worry about. So, you know, let's get out of this panic mode and don't worry about buying 10,000 rolls of toilet paper. Everything's going to be fine. I have a good feeling about this. But I am thankful that I do have my sink here, and I think I need to wash my hands again just to be on the safe side. I'm not panicking, but you know, 20 seconds, wash. Now let me try not to get any water on the microphone. Get between the fingers, back of the hand. And, okay, that's enough. Shut it off. Yeah. Okay. Fun on the radio. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I know a lot of people do. So I hit Twitter on my phone to see what happened on The Bachelor last night. And this is crazy. Then the next screen that comes up says, the following may contain sensitive material. All right.
I caught that too, and I.
You see that?
It's.
And then you hit view.
Yeah.
And then what comes up? All these warnings, major spoiler alert, and then there's the headline: The Bachelor. There were plenty of tears ahead of the final rose ceremony. So I won't read any more because I don't want to make anybody angry. Jen, did you watch it?
I fell asleep 20 minutes before the end of the episode, but it's okay. There's another 2 hours worth of it tonight.
Well, Mary, who's off this week, would be proud of you because she's our Bachelor correspondent.
Yeah, I find it to be problematic. This is like my addiction that I can't break.
Yeah, my wife went out last night to watch the show with some friends. So I turned it on last night just to see what was going on. And all I saw was somebody's mom talking to a bachelor. I don't know what was going on there, but that's all I... And then I turned it off.
Yeah, with the cries, with the tears.
Yeah, I forget what I was watching last night. I was flipping around. I don't remember now.
You were watching something that you tried to record on your DVR.
Yeah, that was it. 6:40 right now. Do you have an Apple Watch? If you do, changes are coming. There are reports today about Operating System 7, the next major Apple Watch update. It's supposed to finally include sleep tracking. I may have to get an Apple Watch. They say there will be a new personalized sleep goal in the health app on an iPhone that will also be used to improve sleep duration and quality. Apple Watch sleep tracking has been rumored for months.
I have one of those on my Fitbit, and it's fascinating to keep track of every night.
Yeah, I should do that. Although I think I know how I'm sleeping and when I'm getting up. But does it work? Is it accurate, do you think,
Well,
Steve?
I think it is because it shows that when how much REM sleep you're getting, how much deep sleep, light sleep. Mm-hmm. But it also tells you how many times you wake up. And some nights when I know I've been tossing and turning, it's really eye-opening to see how many times I've been awake during the night for whatever reason.
I don't want anything on my wrist when I'm sleeping.
I had a pillow that did that.
Oh, wow.
Track my
That's
movements.
A good idea.
Yeah.
And was it as accurate, you think, as an Apple
I think
watch?
So. I, I, I toss and turn a lot, and so it would send a message to the app in my phone and let me know. I could check it the next morning, see how many times I moved, and it would also kind of gently vibrate if I was snoring or something. And it's very strange.
Can't we just go to sleep?
I use like a third party app right now on my Apple Watch to sleep with, and I'm obsessed with the data.
You know, we're obsessed with sleep, and all the experts say the thing to do when you go to sleep is to not worry about sleep, and you'll be fine. Another big addition that's rumored for the new Apple Watch, the ability to share your watch faces with friends and family. I have to get my daughter to explain all this to me. She's got one of these. Apple Watches may soon detect blood oxygen levels. And let's see, the new one is supposed to include parental controls for Apple Watches used by children, improvements to photo-based watch faces, and changes to watch apps so they're no longer based on extensions. Apple typically details all of this at the company's Worldwide Developers Conference in June. However, Apple hasn't unveiled a date for that just yet, and given the worldwide coronavirus outbreak and its impact on tech conferences, it's hard to say when we might hear more about all of this, but those are the rumors going around, supposedly from leaked information, and, you know, all the tech nerds are abuzz about that this morning. Thanks for the text reminding me what I watched last night. Someone from 847, best TV show on last night was Chicago by L, WTTW. Yes, I was watching that, and Jeffrey Bear, I don't know if it was Jeff. He was with us here talking about the show a few days ago. Maybe it was him, or maybe it was his camera crew, somebody I used to work with at Channel 11, perhaps. But when they got off the train and they showed, among other things, the 16-inch Chicago Softball Hall of Fame, very quickly they showed my picture in there. How about that? It's the media wing, but I say that quietly so people think I'm in there because I'm a great athlete, but I'm in the media wing there. But that's what I was watching last night. This is a good show. They're running it all the time, and it's really fun. It's a good show. I highly recommend it. Catching up on some of your feedback in the mailbox, many texts about the time change. I'm still on the old time. I've got my watch still. Didn't move it ahead because this reflects how my body feels right now. 11 minutes before 6, my time. Your time is 11 before 7.
Are you still a day behind, too, because you ignored leap day?
Probably. That's why I feel out of it. But, hey, I'm not the only one. I have 3 golden retrievers. The time change really messes them up. Now they want dinner early. You see? Yeah, you know, it's not just Sunday that you feel the time change. Here's another message from 815. It's going to be a bad week. Time change, full moon, and this Friday is Friday the 13th. Have a good day, Bob. Okay. And I agree with this person from the 773 area code. Chinese food is tops for building up your immune system, especially vegetables and stir fry. The more vegetables, the better. People are foolish to avoid Chinese restaurants at this time. I agree, and I feel bad for the small, independent ma-and-pa businesses that are having such a hard time because we're all freaking out because of the coronavirus. And also, the thing with Chinese restaurants, they get most of their food from right here in the Chicago area and the United States, too. So think about that. It's 6:51, and coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we'll talk about how you can tell what products work against the coronavirus. The EPA came out with a list, and for example, Lysol, Clorox, Purell products are on the EPA's disinfectants list. Those cleaners do kill coronavirus. We'll get into more of that coming up at 7:08. Let's see what we have in the sports department today. I don't know if you had a chance yet, Dave, to read this big interview that Teddy Greenstein had with super agent Scott Boras, baseball's number one agent, but apparently he doesn't talk that much. It's very hard to pin him down for an interview, and he talked about all sorts of things. And this guy, he's got all the big baseball talent, doesn't he?
Yeah, including Chris Bryant, the Cubs, and he's got a lot of the big names, and he's known as a tough negotiator, and I guess that's what you want if you're hiring an agent. You want a guy who's going to go to bat for you and get you the best deal he can, and that's been his reputation.
Yeah, he of course, you know, when he's talking about Chris Bryant, is not thrilled with the Cubs and how they've treated him. Boras calls Bryant a four-speed player because his power and plate discipline allow him to bat anywhere from leadoff to cleanup. And he's the glue, says Boras, of a team because he can play first, third, and everywhere in the outfield. He realizes, says Boras, he's a franchise player. You realize that? And when you understand him, you know that. He won't go on the record with his views of how the Cubs treated his service time issue and why they prevailed in his grievance. And asked how he sees it playing out with the Cubs, Boras says he doesn't know and begins talking about how MLB revenues have surged from $3 billion in 2000 to $10.7 billion last year. Of course, he's going to point that out, right?
Well, that's his job.
That is his job. Anyway, it's a Tribune story. Pretty interesting as you go through it. 2 hours with Scott Boras, and he riffs on everybody. A lot of his clients and some who aren't, and also he has some antagonistic things to say about MLB's luxury tax, which I guess he views as the excuse for not signing players. Is that the deal? I think. I mean, he's, you know, obviously,
well, sure,
lobbying, yeah, for his guys to get the most money.
And he's saying that baseball's making plenty of money, and they shouldn't be trying to nickel and dime players to avoid the tax.
March 26th, opening day for the White Sox at home. That's coming up quick.
2 weeks from Thursday. How about that?
Well, you know what? The weather forecast, who knows that far in advance, but everything I've seen has indicated warmer than usual weather. So maybe we won't get snowed out on opening day around here for a change.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. And so I guess the Cubs open on the road.
They're going to open on the road this year. And, you know, it's, I mean, honestly, it would be, I know it gets talked about, not everybody can open in warm weather cities, but sometimes you think, gee, you know, that would really make sense. The Cubs open up against Milwaukee, in Milwaukee, at Miller Park. So at least there is
they'll
a roof there.
Yeah. Well,
unless it's a nice day, but that'll be the same day, March 26th. So they'll play their home opener is the following Monday against Pittsburgh.
All right. Well, you know what? I mean, all the reports from camp, White Sox, of course, are brimming with optimism, and Cubs, as long as Kimbrel can go through an inning without allowing a home run, Cub fans will be happy.
You know, it's funny because the Cubs, it's not like the Cubs fell off a cliff.
Well, the expectations are different.
They are. But it's funny because they've still got much of the core intact of that team that it hasn't been all that long ago that they were. And what everybody remembers is what happened at the end of last season, obviously.
Yeah. But, you know, you knew after they won the World Series in 2016 it was going to be different.
Sure.
With the fans, and it is.
It is.
And but you're right. It's that same core. And now the question is how long will they be together, you know, and given the financial issues, what can they afford? Who can they afford to keep? So,
well, that's it. I mean, the narrative has been, well, are they going to keep Baez and get rid of Bryant, keep Bryant? You know, it seems like they're going to try to get something done with Baez, but it hasn't happened yet. So,
well, I also think a lot of this talk is fueled by the fact that Rick Hahn is signing everybody there on the White Sox.
And they've signed him to player team friendly deals that keep them locked up, and they don't have to sweat it next year where these guys going to end up. They have great seasons, and they're going to be here. So he can sleep well at night.
Right. But, you know, and I've said this before, the thing everybody forgets about, you know, everybody points to the Cubs rebuild, and that's the model now. But you got to be a little lucky. I mean, it's not often that everybody you call up, all the rookies, in the Cubs case, it was Baez and Contreras and Bryant, and they all were great right out of the box, and that's unusual. I mean, you have disappointments, you have injuries, so, you know, it's not that easy.
You know, Baez had his struggles early in his career.
He struck out a lot.
Yeah, and I think people tend to forget that. And look, the Cubs won ahead of schedule. That doesn't always happen either.
Yep.
So, yep. You know, they arrived before their due date.
But they've set the bar high in Chicago now.
Yes, they have.
Greetings, 7-Eleven right now. I was told by my wife and kids that I purchased the wrong wipes the other day. And I guess the right ones are on the EPA's disinfectants list. Here's how you can tell what products work against the coronavirus. Infectious disease experts have been reluctant to weigh in on the effectiveness of certain products, given the political sensitivity around the global health crisis. But some experts, including a researcher from an independent healthcare safety company, says customers should ask manufacturers if their products have been proven to kill COVID-19, the new strain of the virus. This doctor says you'd want a label claim from the manufacturer that says kills COVID-19. If it just says kills coronavirus, ask if that includes COVID-19. They have a list now of cleaning products approved by the EPA for use against COVID-19. And let's see what's on the list here. Clorox disinfecting wipes, commercial solutions, disinfecting spray, multi-service cleaner and bleach, Lysol, the clean and fresh multi-surface cleaner disinfectant, max cover mist, and heavy-duty cleaner disinfectant concentrate, peroxide multi-surface cleaner and disinfectant, and disinfectant and glass cleaner. Purell professional surface disinfectant wipes are on the list. Also, Sanaprime germicidal disposable wipes and germicidal spray. And let's see what it says here about this. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that for disinfection, diluted household bleach solutions, alcohol solutions with at least 70% alcohol, and most common EPA-registered household disinfectants should be effective.
And so here in the newsroom, we have these, they're called Signature Home Disinfecting Wipes, fresh scent. Are they on the list?
Signature, is that the company?
Yeah, it says kills cold and flu virus, 99.9% of bacteria killed in 15 seconds.
I don't see them on the list, but It doesn't mean it's not effective. And the list does not, they say this is not necessarily the complete list.
I think that's essentially a Clorox wipe. It's just without
generic,
the patent.
It's a generic.
It's the patent wore off.
Fear and anxiety cause us to take actions like sharing news and buying products, even if those actions aren't always useful. John Berger, a marketing professor at the University of Pennsylvania and author of the book Contagious, Why Things Catch On, said people probably are purchasing a lot of unnecessary items. He said what's tough in this case is that there's a lot of political pressure on the CDC to either say or not say certain things. I wish it was all just based on science, but it's not. EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler says using the correct disinfectant is an important part of preventing and reducing the spread of illnesses, along with other critical aspects such as hand washing. Ah, that reminds me. Dave, hand me the soap. It's time for me to wash. And remember, 20 seconds, getting all the all the germs here between my fingers, the back of my hand, and again, I'm not concerned with the sink overflowing because downstairs from us are the executive offices of this company, so I'm sure they don't mind a little rain on them.
Traffic and hand washing every 10 minutes on the fours.
That's what we do here. How do I turn it off? Oh, right here. There we go. Let's get some extremely local news from Block Club Chicago and Jen Sabella. Good morning, Jen. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. Doing okay.
Let's talk about Chicago Brauhaus first and what's going on there.
So there's a lot of excitement about this. We got an email late last week from the Donk House, which is the German Cultural Center over at 4740 Northwestern. They were gifted basically the old bar and some of the interiors from the Brauhaus, which is the German restaurant, wildly popular. It shuttered in 2017 after 52 years on Lincoln Avenue. The brothers, who Harry and Gunther Kempf, who opened the Brauhaus, gifted the Donk House Cultural Center the interior, some of the interiors of the restaurant. And the Donk House is looking to raise $50,000 to basically bring back a little mini Brauhaus in the cultural center. If you haven't been there, it's like a very large building, and they have a second floor bar that looks pretty like run down at this time. It's just very empty looking, not really run down, just empty. So they would outfit it with all of the old Brauhaus fixtures and set up a little bar so people could come and have a beer, have some pretzels. I don't think it would be the same experience as people had at the Brauhaus exactly, but it would, a lot of people were upset when it closed, so they're attempting to kind of save that piece of neighborhood history.
The original was at 4732 North Lincoln.
Yes,
right?
And that is going to be a medical office moving forward. Northwestern bought it. It's going to be just like a medical center. So people in the area were a little bummed, you know, like, oh, this is our, like, it was such a cultural staple in, like, the historically German neighborhood. So Donk House is trying to bring it back. They got a ways to go. They've raised about $6,000 as of this morning. So we have a link to the GoFundMe for that on our site, blockclubchicago.org.
Blockclubchicago.org. Also, South Shore Library may be coming back.
Yes. So it's open again after a very major renovation, $2.5 million renovation. They now have recording studios, a media lab. They have teachers on site for kids every day after school from 3 to 6 p.m. for homework help. A lot of the kids, Maxwell Evans, our reporter down in South Shore, talked to some of the families, and they were just like, it's night and day. Like, we didn't want to be here before. Now it's like bright. Everything's new. So there's a lot of renewed interest in the library down there, which is part of a kind of citywide library overhaul that started a few years ago.
And that's on East 73rd. Is there a date for when everything's going to be done?
It's open now. They, I believe, are having like a grand opening celebration, but that hasn't been scheduled yet. But you can go now and use all the services in the library.
In Andersonville, up north, a lot of people were familiar with a place called Jerry's. Talk about what's happening there.
So, yeah, Jerry's opened in 2002 in the West Loop and then went on to expand to Andersonville, Lincoln Square, Park. Slowly, all of the Jerry's have closed down except for the one in Lincoln Square. Andersonville closed a few months ago, and the owners said they want to turn it into a Middle Eastern restaurant called Fia. That's at 5419 North Clark Street. We put this story up last night, and overwhelming response from Andersonville residents where it was, oh, this is going to be the fifth Middle Eastern restaurant in a two-block radius of Andersonville. So they're like, we love Middle Eastern food, but maybe we should try a different type of food. But I don't know. That was what we were hearing. We're going to actually check back in with the owners to see what is going to set their restaurant apart from Taste of Lebanon, Reza's, Andy's, Middle East Bakery and Grocery, and all the other Middle Eastern places up there.
I'm not familiar with Jerry's. Was the original on Clark, or was the original down in the West Loop?
It was in the West Loop, and then there was one on Division Street, and their whole thing was like deli sandwiches, and they had all these fancy deli sandwiches. You can get like
hundreds of variations on these sandwiches. And it was like a bar, and it was kid friendly. So in a lot of these neighborhoods with a lot of, you know, stroller action on the street, they were very popular. So you can get your kids something and have a beer.
Does anybody else remember Jerry's on Grand? Jen, you're too young, but there was a place on Grand Avenue, Jerry's Deli, famous. He would yell at everybody who came in. And if you go online, you can find, I think it was Tom Weinberg who did a documentary on Jerry. It's hysterical. I mean, this is going back to the 70s. And we used to go in there just to set Jerry off. It would always be crowded. And we'd get up to the counter, and then and Jerry and the guys working for him would bark at you. What do you want? What do you want? And then just to be, you know, just to set him off, we would always say, nah, you know, I'm not sure. Let me just think about that. And then, of course, Jerry would go berserk and start screaming at everybody. No, these guys here don't know what they want, so you're going to get your lunch late. I hope everybody's happy. That was the best show in town.
Oh, my God, I love it.
So that, I think of that, Jerry's, when you mentioned that.
That's the neighborhood character you miss, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then we have an interesting story here about the city slapping a native plant gardener with a fine. And he fought back, didn't he?
This is a miracle. He fought the city and he won. Pete Zosinka and his wife have a native prairie front yard in their Irving Park home, in front of their Irving Park home. It attracts, it's really good for the environment. And actually, they got the plants from the city's Department of Environment before that was closed down a few years ago. So the city gave them these plants. They plant them in their yard, and then they got a $600 fine from the city claiming it was attracting rodents, etc. They were able to reach out to the former chief counsel of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, who fought it in court for them. So they got a pretty VIP lawyer on their side. But they came and they brought receipts to court. They had two pest control companies come out and say, there is no evidence of rodents here. They had the scientific background on how this is making butterflies and birds thrive in the area and no rodents. And they were able to get the fine wiped out, which is the first time ever that we have been able to find. Actually, my old landlady, Kathy Cummings, is an award-winning gardener from the city. She won like a city gardening award and was also slapped with a fine. She got her garden, got the award, and then got a fine, and she was not able to get out of it. So this is a big deal for the native prairie lawn people of Chicago.
You can fight City Hall.
You can. Helps if you have a really educated lawyer who's worked in this issue
yes,
for years.
Of
yeah.
course. Jen, Sabella, thanks.
Lock
Club
me.
Chicago, extremely local news. And let's get our social media guru on the line here and say good morning to Scott Kleinberg. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Anxious to hear about some Twitter changes that are significant, you say. So this is more than just expanding the availability to put in more characters?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I saw that there was big news, I thought maybe they were going to expand the characters even more. But no, it's not that. It's a whole new style of tweet. And, okay, get ready for this. They're calling it Fleet, F-L-E-E-T-S. And according to a product manager at Twitter, it's basically to give all of the people who come to Twitter who don't like to actually tweet, the people who like to read, their opportunity to actually use the service, because this kind of tweet is not going to have a timeline. It's not going to be something that you can go back to and see what you said yesterday or the week before. It's going to be a temporary tweet that only people who are following other people can see, that disappears after 24 hours. Like a lot of the other social media that exists today, it's going to be a temporary form of Twitter.
All right, let me get this straight. It's Fleet, and so for people like me who use Twitter to get information, I don't tweet that much. I do once in a
right.
while. This is geared at people like me?
Yeah, it's geared at people who it's a really weird way that they put it, but some people have what's known as Twitter anxiety, kind of this fear of they're worried that if they put something out there, there's no reply, there's no retweet. It's like that feeling you have when everything is super quiet. And, you know, if you're a business owner, you've had this feeling before. You're like, am I doing something wrong? There's no one listening to what I'm saying, and I really don't understand what I'm doing wrong. So because of that fear, a lot of people actually read Twitter, but they don't actually tweet. So, yeah, I mean, I would look at it as, you know, your question about, you know, is it for you? I would look at it as you use the regular Twitter for certain things. You use this kind of Twitter for certain things. But they want it to be one cohesive service where you can switch back and forth between tweeting and fleeting. It's going to take a long time to get used to those words and using them together.
And they're testing it now?
They're testing it now. This is so weird. They're testing it in Brazil. I don't know why this is, Bob, but apparently Brazil is the testing ground for all things Twitter, social media. And I've come to find that when it comes to testing things like restaurants, Indiana is the place you go for testing that. But when it comes to Twitter, Brazil is the place that you go to test everything. And 98% of the time, from what I have found, when something is tested in Brazil, they do it in Ireland next, and then they do it in the United States if it works out, like for the third time. So this looks like it has a lot of promise. They've been working on this for a long time.
Yeah, go figure. So is it similar to Instagram Stories or Snapchat?
It is really similar to that. It's supposed to feel similar, too. It's supposed to be more controlled and less permanent. So the idea of a timeline that goes back 12 years would be replaced by something that disappears in 24 hours. Now, I say replaced, but for me, you know, I've been using Twitter for 12 years, since 2008. I wouldn't want to necessarily get rid of everything that I've done. But then again, you know, there are people that tweet things that they really would be happy if they weren't always there. And, you know, you can delete something on Twitter anytime that you want, but this would make it a lot easier because just like Instagram Stories, like you're saying, or Snapchat, you put something up and 24 hours from now, it's gone.
I was just reading about how a lot of young people are deleting Instagrams because they realize now that that's like your resume, and a future boss could be looking at your Instagram account. So it's probably a good idea to keep an eye on that, isn't it?
It's not only a good idea, it makes me laugh that you say that, and I really shouldn't laugh, but I do, because in all of my columns that I've written over the years, I've told people, I said, look, I said, someday, the stuff that you're posting on there, your future boss is going to read your stuff. So you got to be careful what you post on Twitter, you got to be careful what you post on Facebook, and then all of a sudden, the same thing happened with Instagram, and people were really getting concerned because young people were really letting go, for lack of a better term, on Instagram, not too worried about whether or not people were going to be able to see it. It's the same thing with Twitter and fleets. If you have a public Instagram account, yeah, your boss, your future boss, or your current boss may be able to see what you're doing. But if you're using Instagram Stories or Snapchat, you're correct. It's going to be gone in 24 hours. So you're right. A lot of people are doing that because they realize that they have to, you know, keep what they're doing in check.
Yeah. Well, during the break, I'm going to delete all those pictures of me with the lampshade on my head at parties. Scott,
well,
Klein-
I told you to do that a while ago.
We're talking to Scott Kleinberg, social media manager for Investment News. And let's talk a little bit more about Twitter and Fleet. As far as somebody who has a business, sure. Is this something for them, Scott?
Yeah, definitely. If a business has a significant following on Twitter, this would mean that your fleets already would have a ready-made audience. So, you know, 10,000 followers on Twitter, 10,000 followers on tweets. Of course, if you have, you know, like 10 followers or something, you still need to work on growing your network. But, you know, it depends on what your business is, like we've said in the past. You know, like, for example, just thinking of you guys, you know, for WGN, you know, you could create content that's smart that lasts for 24 hours because things become quickly outdated. So when you're talking about the stock market, which is going to fluctuate, you know, all day long, in 24 hours, that content goes away and you could replace it with something else. But if you're a small business, you know, this is a great opportunity. Show me what's happening behind the scenes. Tell me what, you know, tell me about your, if you're a restaurant. Tell me about your special that you're having today. Or, you know, back to, you know, regular business, you know, introduce me to the employees that, you know, if I'm a customer, I'll be working with. You know, this is an opportunity to really give us an inside look at what you're doing, but something that's not going to be there all the time. And if you have great success with something like introducing me to employees, you know, then you can put that on your regular Twitter feed and you would have it in, you would have it, you know, to live in perpetuity.
So this is something that you would add to your social media arsenal there, fleets.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's definitely an additional tool. A good social media strategy would always involve using multiple channels of communication. So this would be a really great way. Intersperse regular tweets with fleets. Take into account that, you know, other customers, you know, are going to use it in a different way. So give them another opportunity to see what your business is actually doing.
Do we know where they came up with the name fleets?
You know, it's like the weirdest name ever. No, but in Twitter's defense, I was just researching this a little bit. The definition of fleet is to move or pass quickly. So it makes sense that they're talking about that. And I guess it rhymes. I was trying to think of what else they could call it. So I don't really know what else that would be. So I guess it kind of makes sense. But yeah, I can't see myself asking you at any particular point, oh, have you fleeted today? But, you know, 6 months from now, we may all be saying that all the time.
Yeah. Now, what about LinkedIn and the idea of stories with LinkedIn?
So this is crazy. All of these platforms, you know, first Instagram stories, Snapchat, Twitter, now LinkedIn is even talking about testing stories. I have a tougher time with this one because like everybody else out there, even though LinkedIn is a professional social media network, I look at it as the place you go when you're looking for a job, when you're looking for a resume. So, you know, it's a little bit different, but I read a blog post by the head of content products at LinkedIn. He said that his job is to make sure that LinkedIn gives professionals every format and every opportunity to make conversations as productive as possible, which makes perfect sense. But he said that when it comes to stories, he said, we found that there's an entire generation growing up with stories as a way of speaking. They're more comfortable starting conversations in this format than posting updates and prefer sharing contents that live in the moment rather than live for a lifetime in a feed, which is a really perfect way to look at what these stories are. Rather than have something that stays with you all the time, everything is temporary and goes away in 24 hours. It's a safer form of social media if you look at it that way. But when you think about LinkedIn, that's such a weird thing because LinkedIn is supposed to be this direct link to your resume that's always supposed to be there. So what are people going to do with something on LinkedIn that lasts 24 hours? To me, that's something like business tips or, you know, coverage from a conference or something like that. So it's going to take a little while to figure out what they're going to do. And they're not testing this in a real place yet. It's behind the scenes, but they've been working on it for over a year. So they're actually closer on this than Twitter is right now.
Somebody just texted us. It's a fleeting thought. So maybe that is a good name. Are you going to fleet?
Maybe it is.
Are you going to do it?
You know what? I told myself I'd never use Instagram stories, and now I'm hooked. So, yeah, the answer is I will, and it'll be interesting, just like everybody else, to see what I'll do with it. But, yeah, I'll do it.
And before we let you go, Scott, let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus and all of the information and misinformation. Do you still like Snopes as a way to check out whether what you're reading is true or not?
I absolutely do. Snopes is working overtime, as far as I'm concerned, to come up with what is real and what's not. If you go there today, I mean, if someone says something before noon, you go there today and you'll find that they're working on that. So I definitely recommend Snopes. Definitely a good place to go.
S-N-O-P-E-S, that's Snopes. And then I know you've written about this, and I didn't really realize this, but if you see something on social media that you know is false, you should hit the report button, shouldn't you?
You should absolutely do that. All of the social media platforms have some sort of report button. They all work in different ways. Twitter asks you to show them the tweets that are problematic. Facebook asks you to report the direct post. It is really, this is the way I look at it, Bob. We're all responsible as users of social media to keep it free of misinformation. Now, granted, there's a lot of stuff out there. We're not going to be able to take care of all of it. But for me, at the end of the day, if I find five things that I know aren't real, I know these five things are spreading misinformation in the worst way possible, I want to report it. I think that that's something everybody should do.
Check it out with a source you know and trust. You know how they have that line, if you see something, say something. There ought to be one for social media. When in doubt, check it out. How about that?
You know what? When in doubt, check it out. And the thing I always say, and I put a little trademark sign in front of, think before you link.
Think before you link. Okay.
Yep.
We've got our words to live by today from Scott Kleinberg. Thanks as always, Scott. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Bob. Take care.
Hello, and thanks for being with us at 8:11. I'm Bob Surratt, and I have a complaint here about my hand washing. A text from the 815 area code. I taught nursing. We teach hand washing, and it's 20 seconds of scrubbing, not underwater. Let the soap work first before rinsing. All right, let me do this the right way. Let's turn on the water here. Thanks to again to WGM Management for installing a sink, because they know I'm kind of neurotic and a hypochondriac. All right, so I'm just, I'm letting the water run, but I'm just soaping up now, and I won't put my hands under the water for another few seconds. Got the back of my hand, the fingers, okay. I think it's okay to rinse now. Get all the soap off. And we don't want a flood in the studio. John Williams will get mad, so let me turn this off and get to Dean Richards. Dean, don't take it personally that I washed up before talking to you.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate the protection. Right before the segment every morning, I do something similar with the bottle of Jose Cuervo, and I just pour it all over my hands and then lick it off my desk.
Well, the alcohol will kill all the germs.
That's what they
and
say.
Maybe you too.
That is possible.
And as has been the case every day, we have news of cancellations, don't we?
Yeah, more now. Pearl Jam has canceled its entire tour. It wasn't coming to Chicago anyway, so it doesn't really affect the Chicago area fans that much, but it was going all over the country. Was supposed to start in Toronto next week. They're saying that it's all postponed for now. They have not announced any new dates for this, but their European summer tour is still on. So, you know, maybe that's going to go, maybe not. Also, the group Kiss has announced they're not canceling their tours, but they are canceling their meet and greets that they do after the show. When you buy tickets to see Kiss, you can upgrade your tickets for a backstage meet and greet with the guys. And, you know, they would take pictures and stuff like that. They've canceled all the meet and greets. They're refunding all of the money for anybody who has purchased those. But this one is most interesting to me, I think, that the game shows Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are going to begin taping episodes of that without audiences because of concern for the health of the two hosts, Alex Trebek, who is still in treatment for stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and Pat Sajak, who has just come out of surgery about a month or so ago with a blocked intestine. They're both in their 70s. They are both technically considered to be immune compromised. So producers of those two shows have decided to proceed with the tapings, but just not have 200 people, you know, sitting there while the tapings are going on. So that's going to be interesting. And as this goes on, you know, is this going to happen to late night talk shows? Is this going to happen to other venues? We had, you know, like almost every weekend, I would go to New York or L.A. and we would interview the stars of the new movies that are coming out. Yesterday, we had our first change in all of that. There's an interview that's coming up with Issa Rae and Kumail Nanjiani. They have a new movie that's coming out. And normally I would have gone to L.A. to interview both of them, like them very much. Be fun to sit down and talk with them. But this is the first time that we're going to be doing Skype interviews now to keep the press off of airplanes. And I would assume to protect the stars from having a bunch of dopes like me coming in and shaking hands and coughing and all that. It was a concern last weekend when I was in New York. Things were very different. Nobody was touching anything. So this is the first shoe to drop in this. The way that we interview the A-list celebrities.
Yeah, I saw an announcement today, too. The Coachella Festival is likely moving to October.
Possible, yeah. They haven't confirmed that yet, but that's one of the things. I'm wondering about Lollapalooza here in Chicago. Pitchfork is scheduled to go in September, whether that's going to happen or not. So, we'll just keep an eye on all of this. Mm-hmm. But this is, tremendous loss to my frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. I'll bet.
Never mind the economy.
I caught a glimpse of the monitor a few minutes ago, and I saw on Channel 9 you mentioned Mayor Pete doing a little late-night fill-in work.
Yeah. You got time when you're not the mayor of South Bend anymore and not running all over the country. You're running for president. Mayor Pete is going to be filling in for Jimmy Kimmel on Thursday night. And they say that he's going to come out and do a full monologue. He says that he's very excited to talk with his slate of guests that will include Patrick Stewart. And he says, as for all the jokes, he says, hopefully somebody funnier than me will be doing some writing for all of that. That'll be fun to watch.
Yes, it will. Yeah. Dean Richards, let's talk a little bit about this Led Zeppelin lawsuit that they won.
Yeah, this has been in courts almost 2 years now. There is a group called Spirit that toured with Led Zeppelin years and years ago that made the claim that the Stairway to Heaven song, that the Led Zeppelin song Stairway to Heaven was ripped off from a song that they did. The group is called Spirit. Let's hear the original, the classic, Stairway to Heaven first, and then we'll play a little bit of the song from Spirit.
All right, here you go.
So this lawsuit is based primarily on this opening riff of the song, maybe the most famous part of the song. The song by the group Spirit is called Taurus. This is what their version sounds like.
Pretty close.
All right, Judge Judy's going off the air. Judge Bob, what would you say?
Pretty close, but you can't prove that he stole it,
right?
I mean, it's and by the way, this was this ruling held up a previous ruling, didn't it?
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, the original ruling on this was that Led Zeppelin did not steal it. The original ruling had some problems in the way the judge ran the trial. So Spirit was able to get an easy appeal on it. That was what happened yesterday. They also lost the appeal again. So they can still appeal a third time. But the interesting part of this whole thing is that the jury actually never heard recordings of either of the songs, because a case like this can only be judged on the sheet music itself, what it looks like on the piece of paper. So apparently that's how the jury made their verdict. I go along with you that it does sound close, but I would also say it's just somebody plucking away on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah,
it's not exactly the same thing. It's just two songs that happen to start with acoustic guitar. So
yeah,
I think I agree with the jury on this.
Yeah, at first when I heard, I'm glad you explained that, because I heard that the jury didn't hear the recordings, and I thought, well, wait a minute, wouldn't that be Exhibit A? But it actually makes sense to go by the sheet music, because you want to see how it was written. And, I mean, after all, these melodies float around in people's heads, and just because you come up with something similar doesn't mean you stole it from right. that artist.
Yeah, there's only so many notes out there. So, I mean, I guess it's a little bit similar. I guess it's a little suspicious that they toured together, the Spirit song, Taurus, came out 3 years before Led Zeppelin. Also circumstantial evidence, Your Honor.
Yeah,
I rest my case.
No further questions.
The jury has spoken. If you can't hear the song, you must acquit.
All right. Now, I want to hear about the group doing a tour of delis.
Isn't this the greatest idea ever?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're familiar with the group that's called Haim. They are a sister act. Three sisters. They've been nominated for Grammys. They were up for Best New Artist for Grammy Awards a couple of years ago, and they are celebrating their a brand new album that is out, which is called Women in Music Part 3. Their very first album that they recorded was recorded at the famous Cantor's Deli in Los Angeles. It's one of the most famous delis in the United States. And they want to honor that first appearance there by doing a concert tour around the country, but not in regular concert halls, only in delis. So they've done a few of them so far. They're supposed to be in Chicago on Friday. They have a scheduled show on Friday, but you have to sign up on their website to find out where the concert is going to take place, which I have, but they haven't announced it yet. I guess it's going to be one of those last-minute things. But I've got my fingers crossed for Manny's.
I was going to say Manny's, or they won't go to Max and Benny's. They'll want to stay in the city, I'm sure. So.
I would think. Yeah. You know, and Manny's is, it's right down, South Loop.
Yep.
You get a free potato pancake with every corned beef sandwich. That to me, it's not a real rock and roll experience unless you're belching up a dill pickle.
So when are they going to do that?
Friday. Okay. Yeah, it's Friday.
All right.
You want to go?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I need some matzo ball soup.
Yeah.
I love
Manny's.
They make a sardine sandwich for me, which is not on the menu. They claim I'm the only one that ever asked for it. Sardines on rye bread with lettuce, tomato, and raw onion.
Wow.
It's very healthy. And I get that with a potato pancake and matzo ball soup, so it's not that healthy.
And Marianne stayed married to you anyway?
Yeah.
Sardine sandwich with onions?
Well, I'm hoping one day, I'll have my own deli sandwich, the Bob Surratt sandwich, like a lot of celebrities have that. So I'm going for that.
That would be nice.
It's Dean Richards appearing with me at Manny's this Friday and on the radio here again in the morning. Thank you, Dean.
See you tomorrow.
Okay. We'll talk to the Better Business Bureau about what's happening with the coronavirus scammers. You got to beware, and we'll tell you what to watch out for. We'll do that after the news. Dean was sponsored by Drury Lane Theater. Fear breeds scammers, and that's why we've asked CEO of the Better Business Bureau, Steve Burness, to join us. Steve, you busy these days?
Nonstop busyness.
Yeah, this is, I guess, not a surprise that people are preying on anxiety right now.
Exactly. Scammers are opportunists. They look for ways to separate you from your money, and since there's so much fear and there's so much talk about it in the media, it seems that it's a good way for the scammers to take advantage of the situation. But it's coming out of woodworks, all of them now. It seems like it's all over the nation and all over the world, these types of scams, and where they're originating from, it's hard to determine because they're all using phones or internet. And they're hiding behind, obviously, the website. So it's really hard to determine where they're coming from.
What are you seeing more than anything else? Cures, products for people who want to protect themselves? Is that what this is all about mostly?
A lot of it is cures and products as well. The special mask, they have this special mask that can prevent it. And it's different variations of the mask and different medicines, pills, whatever it may be. And they have this great knowledge of the virus, and they can help you understand it better, and they want you to download some information. And fortunately, those have scam or spam on there and malware. So you never want to follow a link that somebody just sent you in an email saying, click here for great information about something. You want to go to the sites directly, like the Centers for Disease Control directly and the World Health Organization directly, and listen to those sites only.
Yeah, I'm looking at a headline here that we got this morning. FTC and FDA send warning letters to 7 companies about unsupported claims that products can treat or prevent coronavirus. Yeah. So that's what you're talking about.
That's just a start. Yeah, the FTC took action finally, but there's other organizations out there that they're trying to find out where they're actually at. So anybody that says there's a cure or they have this great information about this virus, I would stay away from them as far as you possibly could.
And what about insurance companies now? What's going on with them?
We're receiving calls from consumers actually started a few days ago where they're saying that they have a better coverage for the coronavirus for you have to call this number and or give us your credit card for this type of insurance coverage. So you got to do your due diligence. And again, everybody's preying on these fears. So you got regular organizations and you got scammers both preying on the fears, because then you got the price gouging that on Amazon for the products that were, you know, for last week for the hand sanitizers and the mask. And it just continuously new scammers are popping up. But actually some of the legitimate businesses or the businesses in business are actually trying to take advantage of the situation like they always do.
We're talking about things to watch out for in the wake of the coronavirus with the Better Business Bureau CEO, Steve Burness. And Steve, you call this an infodemic, don't
infodemic.
You?
Infodemic. It's really that social media is replete with information on how to prevent, to take care of, or eliminate. And some of it's false information, so it keeps getting shared and liked and keeps going around. It's going around the world, so you don't know what to believe. And consumers are reading sometimes false information that can harm them.
So is the CDC website the place to go to check everything out?
Yeah, CDC has all the information, Center for Disease Control, and also the World Health Organization. Those are two main websites that you should go to directly. Again, there's a lot of fake literature saying it's coming from the World Health Organization, and it has a link, and it's not from them. So they issued a warning last week as well. So be careful where the source is coming. Go to the site directly. Don't follow links saying click here for more information.
And what about organizations who claim to be collecting money for a nonprofit? Are you seeing a lot of that?
We're seeing a little bit, but it's going to increase as more and more to help these victims or help people that have been victimized by this coronavirus. So be careful of those charities that call you up and demand money now or want money now. Any legitimate organization will want your money today, will want it tomorrow, next year. The ones that call you quickly, want your credit card, or call the telemarketing, usually sometimes make 90 cents on a dollar as well. So you've got to check out the charities and see where their actually money's going first.
And there are a lot of products now out there making all sorts of claims. Anything in particular you've seen? What do we need to watch out for there?
Well, most of the products basically are saying they can, you know, pill that can help you, or this cream, or this particular sanitizer. Be careful of any unsubstantiated claim and somebody that can help you with this particular virus without doing some more research on it on the organization, looking at the Center for Disease Control. There's so many different products out there, you don't know what to believe, and a lot of them are from organizations I never even heard of, or nobody's ever heard of. And it can be all over the world. This looks like a legitimate, you know, American company. It can be somebody across the pond somewhere just out of a coffee shop doing this.
And some of the buzzwords, all natural.
All natural.
Which really doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't really mean anything, but the consumer's perception is, hey, it's got to be great for you. It doesn't mean it's going to be better for you in any way.
Right. Also, as if this wasn't enough, we're heading into the season where we get severe weather and storms, and you see a lot of scams connected with that, don't you?
Exactly. It's always the storms chasers as well. And obviously, last year was a pretty severe year for flooding and disasters, and actually my neighborhood got hit with a severe storm as well. But you think actually the storm chasers come out afterwards. Those are the ones that always concern us, because they move from state to state, and they just try to take advantage of the consumers during their dire need to find somebody. Because when you do have a problem like I had, it's hard to find a contractor, because all the good contractors are being taken, or they're months behind in work already. So especially because March is severe weather preparation months, is please plan ahead and know your contractors and get information about somebody you want to do business with before the problem occurs. Because you should have that information. You should have a locksmith name. You should have a contractor. You should have a waterproofer. Things are that already. Except when it does happen, like it happened to me and other people, is you got to act quickly and take care of it as fast as possible. And that's when the scammers come out.
So is most of what you see companies claiming to waterproof your basement, or is most of it people who are going to come out and clean up after a flood?
It's clean up after a flood, and it's actually the contractor saying they can take care of your roof. Roofing is probably the number one top complaint we receive. You know, we had about 60 or 70 pamphlets at my house within a couple days of the storm, people saying they can help you and get your new roof free from the insurance company. So it's individuals that are trying to claim they can help you quickly, and they wouldn't want you to do any homework on them or research on them or know nothing of them. You make sure they have license and insurance. But one thing they should do is go to the Better Business Bureau, get a listing of contractors in your specific area. So you do need a waterproofer or if you do need a contract, you can go to the Better Business Bureau site and look for companies that are credited by us, and it's a sign of a better business.
And back to the coronavirus, the best advice would be to check with your doctor if you're looking at products for yourself or for your home or wipes to use or whatever it is, right?
It is best to talk to your doctor, especially, you know, what kind of mask to buy. And you should have a mask because some are saying you don't need the mask. Some are saying you do. So check with your doctor and a known health care provider. But again, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has so much information on their website. But go to them directly. Don't follow links saying this is from the Center for Disease Control.
Are you getting a lot of complaints about price gouging? And what can you do about it?
Well, basically, last week it was a lot of problems with price gouging. There's not much you can do with this. I've complained to the authorities, but you know, Amazon pulled a lot of products off the shelves last week because of the price gouging as well. You anticipate as it gets worse and people's shelves are getting clean of these types of products, there's going to be more price gouging. Be careful when you shop and make sure you deal with reputable organizations that you know and trust.
And what's the best way to contact the Better Business Bureau, Steve?
Our website is bbb.org. Before you buy or hire, BBB it, please.
Okay. I think we're going to be talking to you a lot in the coming weeks. Don't take it personally, but I hope not, but I know we are.
I'd love to be here anytime to help your viewers, listeners.
Yeah, well, they're watching, too, these webcams, you know. It's not like the old days of radio where you didn't have to shower, shave, and put on a nice shirt.
I combed my hair today.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Steve, for keeping us posted on that. I said earlier we were going to try to alleviate panic today, bring you good news, be optimistic, be hopeful. All right. It's going well so far. Behind strong returns for shares of Chevron and Goldman Sachs, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is soaring this morning, most recently trading almost 700 points higher. Shares of Chevron and Goldman Sachs contributing around a third of the blue chip gauge's intraday rally. So let's all sing this song together now. Forget about the panic. You may be able to peek at your IRA.
Happy days all here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days all here again. All together, shout it now. There's no one who can doubt it.
Do you have a song for when it starts going back down again? If it starts going back down?
What's that, Steve?
Do you have a song for when it starts going back down again?
We don't want to think about that. But according to what's been happening recently, that'll be tomorrow, right? We'll deal with that tomorrow. I don't want to steal John Williams' thunder. It sounds like his Friday feature where you have people call in and say what they're thankful about and happy about. But, you know, we take whatever morsel we can get here, John. What do you got going today?
Was it 11 years ago yesterday that the market kind of hit rock bottom?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when it did. I remember the day that it was going down 600 points. It seemed like every single day it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We played From Annie, The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow.
And were people aggravated when you did that?
I think it felt good and hopeful. And by golly, we did recover. I think we will get through this.
I was, at that time, I was frozen with fear, paralyzed. I went to a meeting that my bank had. I didn't understand anything they said. So I did what I usually do, nothing.
Ignored
and then they looked at me like I was a genius financial brain a few years later.
I'm telling you, I sent a note to my son who's just beginning his life-saving money. And I said, he does that dollar-cost averaging where every paycheck he puts a couple of dollars in a mutual fund. And I said, this is going to work out really well for you. You just hang in there, stay the course, and you will get through this. And I don't think you have to be 30 to appreciate this. I hope and think we're all going to get through this.
Be patient.
I know it, my friend.
Be patient. Be hopeful.
My friend Lou Manfredini is on an airplane. And I said, oh, my God, what was that like? Suddenly, it sounds like some exotic, crazy thing. He was on an airplane. He's going to tell us what his air travel to and from New York was like. And that guy that was on the train from Chicago to St. Louis, where the woman had the virus, called in on our show yesterday. We're going to check in with him as well. So lots to take care of today.
I really want to hear about the Lou's plane ride, because spring break travel plans in the Serrata household are up for grabs.
Well, by the way, we're also going to answer this question for you. If you have spring trip plans, you know, spring break plans, what are your options with your airplane tickets? We'll get you answers to those today, too.
I'll call in. Have a good day. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.